The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this November 18th, 2021. And he's bad on the board, none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody. And remember, it's Pledge Week.
That's right.
Yes.
And she's 88 pounds of pugnacious palaver, none other than little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
And in the other room trying to figure out what 88 pounds of pugnacious palaver really is, and there's none other than Rowdy Randy and Wiley Witt. And then, folks, last but by no means least, way out there we have a candidate running for a bed in the old folks' home. Only kid will be there soon enough. None other than the Parson Joe Larson.
As child and forever I am. Glad to be back with you again. Let's raise some money.
We got to do that.
Ministry on the straight and narrow.
We got to do that because we came short yesterday, so we got to get right out of the chute tonight. 888-281-1110. The phone lines are open. We came up short last night. We got to make it up tonight. 888-281-1110. Joe's going to make all his commentary very quick tonight. Now, 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Our soldiers, our phone warriors are standing by, ready to take your call. And boy, do we need to get that done. Because, Joe, we have approximately, let me see, we got an hour and 40 minutes tonight and an hour and 40 minutes tomorrow night. So is that 3 hours and 20 minutes altogether?
Pretty close.
All right, there you go. All right, folks, that's how much time we have to raise enough money to stay on the air for another whole 30 days, huh, Joe?
Well, we have to pay bills. Being a ministry, we have to have our bills paid, or we have to go off stations. And I'll remind folks, every station we've ever lost, we've never been able to get back on. It's usually somebody else takes over the slot, and once the availability's gone, the enemy hangs on to those very tightly.
Well, AOC says that we shouldn't have to pay our bills, that the government should pay the bills. So why is it that we have to pay bills? AOC, where are you?
Because we don't speak the same language that AOC speaks. She lives in a different world, has a different worldview, and would like to see us go away, far, far away.
All righty. People out there, if you don't know who AOC is, it's... What is that, Alex?
From hell.
Yeah. It's one of the Huskies from hell, but what is it? Alexandria Cortez or something?
Yeah.
All right.
She's a New York liberal radical socialist.
All right. Well, I'm straightening up my stuff here. All right. I got to make right off the bat a couple fast announcements, and here's why, Joe. Because these things are happening tomorrow. And For those in this area here, they'll pick them up on the tomorrow morning that don't hear the program tonight. They can pick it up in the morning show at 10 o'clock. So I've got to go back to where I had it because I had my announcements. Here it is. I've got it. Ready? Both Cleveland and Clinic and University Hospitals, unvaxxed employees, have received the ultimatum, okay, from Gestapo, from the New World Order, from the hospitals, to get vaxxed or get fired very soon. That's right. These 15,000 employees are vital to the health care of the entire region. How well can the hospitals function with 25 to 40% of their health care professionals? You know, it's, you know, Joe, these hospitals are losing credibility and people are no longer trust them anymore.
Well, exactly. I mean, these people, they were screaming how they were heroes. They were saving our lives, and all the doctors and nurses and EMTs were the great heroes. And now they're saying, take the poison poker. You don't have a job. You ain't worth, you know, squat. It just shows how much the government loves power, hates people, lies, and it only takes advantage of things when it's to their benefit. The rest of the time, they could care less what really happens.
Joe, the reason for this is this. People, you know, they know that, that a lot of the people out there aren't real smart. I mean, it's obvious. But they know that even those people out there are going to figure things out. When they see medical workers, doctors and nurses, even Joe Sixpack can start putting two and two together and saying, wait a minute, hold it. If these doctors and these nurses and these medical workers who have to deal with these people that have taken the poisonous poke, if they refuse to take it, then you know what? Maybe there's a very good reason. So
yeah,
maybe
there
I should.
Is.
Right. So then you say, okay, well,
you have to remember, even a lot of these doctors that say they believe in the vaccine, want you to be vaxxed, say they believe in freedom even more, in freedom of choice. So you've got those that know the truth about the vaccine, and even those that don't are still clinging to, we have to freedom first.
All righty, so here you go. Join with these brave, unvaxxed, united healthcare professionals as they fight back, as they stand up and push back. Tomorrow, Friday, November 19th, at noon here in Cleveland, at noon, meet at the Clinic's Miller Pavilion for a march to University Hospitals, parking at the Clinic's 100th Street garage or carpool. Also, a second non-march protest is planned for Tuesday, November 23rd at 5 p.m. at Fairview Hospital at 18101 Lorraine Avenue in Cleveland. All patriots are called upon to support these events in person to further our mutual objectives of defeating vax, masks, techs, lockdown, freedom-destroying mandates, and stimulating passages of Ohio legislation to ban those dangerous mandates. So, folks, there you go. And listen.
Remember that big federal circuit court that's not liberal said they believe these are unconstitutional, and that's why they canceled the mandate. They put it off until there could be more hearings. So, I mean, when one of the liberal courts pretty much says out loud it's unconstitutional, it probably is.
All right. Now, folks, we're getting calls from people from all over saying, how do we do this? How do we have our protest? Look in your papers or in the morning or listen, because just in every major city all across the country, you have medical workers and, you know, in some of these cities, half the police department is out. They won't, like, they're in Chicago or we saw in Massachusetts where the state trooper said, nope, we're not going to take it. We're not going to take the poison, okay? Just listen to what's local, or, you know, go on, if you got to listen to this program on your local station, news, wherever state you're listening to us on, they'll tell you, because there'll be things happening in your town. Get involved. You cannot longer sit on the sidelines and be a spectator. Your freedom is not a spectator sport. You got to get involved, or you're running out of time. All right. the numbers. The phones are not ringing yet. The phones are not ringing yet. And so we got to get them ringing. We got to get them to ring.
888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Call us.
All right. There's one ringing right now. All right. We'll give that again. Maybe we'll get another ring. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Folks, you can also go up to our website, wrwl.org, and you can donate through PayPal. It tells you the different ways you can donate. Now, I think we just, did we just get one up on the board tonight? Did you just put a new one up? All right, Adrian in Chicago pledges $10. All righty. Well,
that's going to start. Thank you, Adrian.
Yes.
You started us off. That's where you always have to have that first hit.
All righty. Well, you and I got to get into the Word of God.
Who said, I wish to avenge myself against the one who rules above? And the short answer is Karl Marx, but that leads us into our Bible study.
Was it? But you know, when he says that, isn't he really just parroting Satan over in Isaiah chapter 14?
It sure is.
And so we left it off here tonight in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. So why don't you read those verses, Joe?
All right. To whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, purposed, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, in which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Boy, that's a powerful, powerful few verses, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Now here, if we go back to Peter's day, when and Peter's readings, as they would look at this, and they would look at these stones, okay, they would have understood those living stones to be the nation of Israel.
Yeah, every one.
And the reason for that, if we go over to, let me just jump over for a minute to Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 8, in verse 14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense, both to the house of Israel, and for a gin, and for a snare in the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. And so here, also, if you go over to, well, let me just, I think it was in 28, I think it was Isaiah 28, verse 16, if I remember, because that was a very interesting passage. But let me see here.
28:16.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone tried, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Now, so here we go back, because remember what we were saying yesterday, how that for Petros and Petra, where those that say that the church was built upon Peter, but, you know, that couldn't possibly be, because the entire passage, the question was all about the identity of Christ.
Right. Who was he?
Now, here Christ is referred to as a stone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now a cornerstone.
He came as a man. See, he came a living stone. He came as one of us, God in the flesh, but God made man, Emmanuel. So he did come as just a living stone. Not as, he didn't come as the Almighty God. He came as a man.
So in this text, could we say then basically what we're referring to, the stones are basically a piece of a larger rock, right?
Right.
Okay, so let me see what we have here. I think we got some pledges in. Bill in Boston pledged 20. Lori in Oregon pledges 50. Russell in Ohio pledges 50. Michael in New York pledges 10. And Susan in Staten Island pledges 25. All right, very good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. Now, here, we take a look at this. Let me go back here. He says, you also are lively stones that are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So we are, the church is a spiritual house.
Exactly. Built of living stones. Lively stones means living. Lively means living. So the church is a built of living stones, and that's the true church.
Okay, so now we're to, how is that different? We're to offer up spiritual sacrifices. How is that different than what they offered up in the Old Testament?
Well, they had to offer up a sacrifice, the shedding of blood, for the temporary remission of sins. But we, our bodies are our living sacrifice. We offer a living sacrifice, but we do things, our thanksgiving, our praise, our works are spiritual in nature, because what? They are there to glorify God, not glorify us or man.
So now Peter's readers would have been, the very first converts to Christianity were Jews. And so Peter's readers would have looked at this and taking a look at the church being a part of the early church, they would have said, well, yes, this fulfills the Jewish heritage. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the completion, right?
It is. It would be very clear, I would think, if they knew their scripture.
Okay, so he says, now listen to this. Behold, I lay a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. All right, now this is very interesting, okay? So does this mean that those of us that trust, when it says believeth upon him, that put our trust in God, is that, look, for those of us, or for anyone that has placed their trust in God, has that trust ever been misplaced at all?
No, never. And we can't be confounded, because once we become a born-again believer, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to help guide us and direct us so that we are not confused or confounded. We know that God's word is true, man's word is false. God is looking out, wants the best for us. The world doesn't. The world wants to use us, take advantage of us, in some form or another, wants our money, our time, our sex, our whatever. God is the only one that's truly interested in what's good for his children.
I remember we had some years ago, there was a disc jockey. His name was Gary D. Gilbert. Okay, he was disc jockey of the year in America, I think, for like 3 years. I think he had that. Anyhow, one day I was witnessing to him. He was really having some problems, and I could see a guy could be suicidal. Anyhow, so. he was telling me that God betrayed him. That he could no longer trust God. That God had left him. Okay, so my answer to him was, God didn't go anywhere. He's right where he's always been. You're the one that's left him. Has God ever...
God can't go away. God is everywhere. He is in all places at all times. He can't go anywhere. So if you are away from God, you've had to do the leaving yourself.
All right. So is there ever... Is it within God's nature to ever betray anyone?
No.
Okay, so betrayal is something that comes... that is repulsive. It's totally in opposition to God's nature, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. Christine in Colorado pledges 300. Thank you, Christine. And Joe in Bristol, PA, pledges 30. Thank you, Joe. 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Or... We've got to really keep this going tonight, folks. We've got to keep it going. 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Okay, now, let me ask you this. Okay, if we go down to... I want to jump ahead and go there. But you are to verse 9. But you are of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. Now... in the past, when under the office of the priesthood, the people would go to see the priest, and they would confess their sins, they would prepare a sacrifice, he would offer it up for them. But the priest had to intercede. The people could not go directly to God.
Right.
Because of their sin. Now, here... Today, because there's only one high priest, is there not?
Now there's only one, yes.
Okay, so now...
Jesus Christ.
So now we can go, we no longer have a veil. The veil that was the flesh of Christ. The flesh of Christ also was symbolic of the veil of the temple, wasn't it?
Right, and once it was destroyed, ripped, and broken, then Christ was set free, rose from the dead... And we were set free from the prison of sin.
So we, as a nation, as a royal priesthood, can go directly to the Father. We can pray directly to the Father, can we not?
Because Jesus is our advocate, our intercessor, and he is the one that enables us to be able to go directly to the Father, because Jesus said, I am in the Father in me, and I am in you. So he has made it, he is... Through him, we can breach that gulf from sin to perfection by him to the Father.
Okay, so here, in what sense, when we go to the Father, in what sense are we coming as Christ?
Well, we pray to the Father through the Son, and we are coming because we have the down payment of the Holy Spirit that makes us a child of the kingdom, enabling us to go to the Father.
Okay, are we the living body of Christ?
Yes, the church is the living body on earth.
And so we can go directly. Now, what kind of sacrifices do we offer up? I mean, we don't offer up doves and bullocks and... things, lambs today. What kind of sacrifices do we offer?
Well, Scripture says we offer our body as a sacrifice, but that means our body and what we do, how we live, how we treat His children, how we treat others, and our works are from the body. The body is also when we give our praise, our thanksgiving, our worship, all comes from our body. So our body is that living sacrifice.
Okay, so our body is a living sacrifice, but now what other sacrifices we are to offer up? What about praise and worship?
That's why I just said that. Yeah, that comes okay. from the body. Our praise, our worship, our glorifying Him, our singing hymns.
Okay, so our service
from the body. Yeah,
our service. What about our tithes?
Tithes come from the money we've earned from our body.
Okay, hang tight. We'll be back. We're going to play a clip. Okay, folks, listen very carefully to this clip, because we're going to keep trying to warn you. We're going to try to save as many people as we can. Be right back. Okay, the number is 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Call in while you're listening to the clip. Be right back.
So now they're seeking another 20-year calamity. They've tried to fix social decay by throwing money at it, and the problems only get worse. So what's another few trillion dollars? Well, now all of this is playing out again in health policy. The shots have not worked the way that our leaders told us that they would, and every day it's becoming more and more obvious that they're dangerous and deadly. But they aren't backing off on vaccine rhetoric. They're going further now than ever. Now they need to force them into our children, children who are at no risk from COVID and do pretty much nothing to spread it. But they must be jabbed. It's a religious imperative for the left in their new coronavirus death cult. And they don't care how many children it might hurt. Instead, the CEO of Pfizer is going around saying that people who question the official story on the vaccines are criminals. No, the real criminals are the ones imposing this medical dictatorship on us and our kids. And the crimes could be worse than that. Biotech analyst Karen Kingston is back with us with what she says is evidence that Pfizer knew the vaccines would disable and kill children before their latest vaccine trials even started. Karen, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Stu. I have evidence, yes, that Pfizer knew this was going to disable, harm, and kill children prior to unleashing this on the American population. And I have additional information that not only did they know it was going to disable and harm children, they knew they were unleashing a bioweapon. One thing I want to point out is the FDA had a meeting on June 10th of this year. And they put together a document for pediatric use of the vaccines. And in this document, as well as in the EUA document for 5 to 11-year-olds and 12 to 15-year-olds, it states, depending on epidemiologic trends, an adequately powered clinical efficacy endpoint trial with sufficient case accrual across pediatric age groups may be very difficult, if not infeasible, to conduct. What does that mean? It means what I have said since day one, since you've had me on your show. It is clinically and statistically impossible to create a vaccine that's going to be more effective than a child's natural immune system, period. So what did they do in the trials? They did immunobridging. That robust immune response, if you take a look at the data, that is an overactive immune response. It's immunogenicity. What Fauci calls a robust immune response is disease that results in illness, disabilities, harm, and death in children. That's the robust immune response that they're talking about. You do not do this. They knew they couldn't create a vaccine. All the vaccine does is override the children's natural immune system. But this is the really damning evidence. If you take a look at the submission that Pfizer submitted on November 20th of last year, everyone thought that was just for 16 years of age and older. No, there was a group of 12 to 15-year-old children, Stu, 12 to 15-year-old children in that study. And I'm going to read verbatim what the Pfizer and FDA published on December 20th. They stated that reogenicity data from a total of 100 adolescents, 12 through 15 years of age, were provided in the emergency use authorization submission. However, the sponsor, Pfizer, did not request inclusion of this age group in the EUA because the data was insufficient to support a benefit risk determination at this time. Therefore, the data for 12 to 15-year-old children is not being presented. Pfizer, Albert Bourla, what does that mean? They knew that the safety data in the children was damning. It was damning. And so Bourla said, don't make this, release this to the public. This should have never, ever been moved forward to inject in 12 to 15-year-olds. Maddie DeGray, what happened to her? She's paralyzed and has a feeding tube. Never should have happened. all of these heart inflammations. It never should have happened. That poor man during Ron Johnson's open public forum crying because of the death of his 16-year-old son never should have happened. The CEO of Pfizer knew in November of last year that this would disable, harm, and kill children. And what did he do? He told the FDA to cover it up. Don't make it publicly available. Everyone has right to this data under FOIA, period.
And what sway does he have over the FDA?
Well, that's a subjective answer, I would say, because he has sway because of Pfizer's influence, because of the financial. But I can just tell you from being in the industry, the CEO knows lockstep what's going on with their phase three trials. So he can tell his panel of experts in R&D to say, look, make sure they don't make this public.
And I know that, you know, you don't like to be subjective. You like to come here with facts and patents and studies and FOIA gathered information. And I appreciate that. I'm just from a person to person I was asking. And I guess, you know, Patrick Howley from National File was here about a week ago or two and disclosed exactly who these FDA people are, the people that are on the committee that are deciding whether or not to move forward with an emergency use authorization for children. And all of them have super deep ties to Pfizer. So that's the answer. The answer is money.
Financial ties. Yeah. I mean, Scott Gottlieb, former FDA commissioner under the Trump administration, is now on the board of Pfizer. Shocker. Right. So there's deep ties. That's absolutely it. But I just also want people to know the CEO is not oblivious as to what's going on with the phase three trials. They're very much aware of it. And this evidence shows that they conspired to commit aggravated assault and murder of children with a bioweapon. And maybe your audience or naysayers are saying, you have no evidence this is a bioweapon. Yes, I do. Take a look at the biological license application that was submitted in May of this year. And what it says under the product description, verbatim, is the mRNA in Comirnaty is a single-stranded mRNA encoding the full-length SARS-CoV-2 spike glycoprotein derived from the Wuhan-HU1-1 isolate that was uploaded to GenBank by China. It is the bioweapon. That's what it is. And it's literally called the Wuhan-HU1-1 spike protein. We know that's a bioweapon. If you still don't believe me, take a look at the patent that was issued on January 10th of 2017. And it was issued to actually MIT and Harvard. But this all rolls up into the master patents. And who funded this? It says under state government support, the invention was made with a government support awarded by the NIH. But if you go to Section 9, what does it say, Stu? It says that this nanotechnology vaccine will deliver a molecule. In some embodiments, the small molecule is a toxin. In some embodiments, the toxin is from a chemical weapon or an agent of biowarfare. The NIH patented a vaccine to deliver a bioweapon. That's what we're administering right now.
Unbelievable. I mean,
yeah. And right now, NIH and Moderna are in court to find out who's getting the royalties for unleashing a bioweapon in a mass genocide across the globe. That is what's going on. And Francis Collins is very proudly dragging Moderna to court so he can get his fair share of killing the global population.
Insanely demonic.
It's demonic. And so I don't know what to tell people to say, we're at war. I mean, the patent says we're going to make a vaccine that delivers a bioweapon. The FDA approval authorization license says the vaccine produces the Wuhan HU1 bioweapon. We are at war, Stu. And people who are thinking our government is coming in to save us, I'm sorry. Everyone's making way too much money. Way too much money. Here in Carlsbad, you know, my backyard, Quidel just announced that they built a new plant. They're a diagnostic company. They're going to produce 600 million COVID-19 tests a year. This is a huge market. And people don't understand. Nobody wants the money to go away.
COVID-19 is a product. It's a brand being marketed. And these demonic, satanic capitalists, I guess you could say that they are, and I'm not an anti-capitalist, but I am anti-Satan and I am anti-demonic. These communists are making a killing by using this branded and marketed product, and they're using it also in a nefarious way by rolling out a bioweapon in the name of that product. And now they're injecting your kids with it. Trillions and trillions of dollars in the marketplace have opened up as a result of this. Jeff Bezos, look at his net worth and what it did over the lockdown period as President Trump was duped into that. You know, this EO, we're going to start digging in on that executive order as well that was signed by President Trump. I don't know. We're going to take a look at this. Was he duped? Did he know? Did he sign it on purpose? Is he involved? Is that why he's avoiding, you know, coming on platforms like this one where he knows that we're going to ask him questions about this vaccine? Why does he continue to push it? Is he backed into a corner? This is all stuff that, but if I hear 5D chess one more time, I think I might vomit. We have kids that are dying out here, and this thing needs to be stopped right now. And there's the proof. We are at war. Karen Kingston, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu.
When you hear steponsocks.com, I know that you're thinking gifts, and I know that you're thinking feet.
All righty. Let me ask you, Joe. I mean, can parents, well, let me just start out with this here. Medical holocaust against children, vaccine-induced myocarditis in children has a 50% fatality rate in 5 years. Now, hold on. Hold that thought. Now, folks, 888-281-1110. The lines have been, since we started that, the lines quit lighting up. They quit, you know, we can't do that. We gotta hear from you. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Joe, it was over a year ago we told people we played the clip of the virologist that invented the mRNA, the one that invented that. And he was saying, look,
Dr. Malone,
don't use it. It's a weapon. Or a year ago, it's a bioweapon. It's a weapon. Don't use this. Now, here now, but you see, people are told, we watch Channel 5 and Channel 3 and NBC, ABC, CBS, and they told us we should trust the government now that Biden is in. And so we're going to go ahead and have our children take this vax. So then, when they're children, because in 5 years it's got a 50% fatality rate.
Well, that's for those that contract the myocarditis or pericarditis. If they do contract it, and they don't know what percent at this point.
Well, mostly it's boys. Yeah. Well, mostly it's boys.
And it's quite high. So if your child gets it, they've got a 30% of chance dying by three in 3 years and a 50% chance of dying in five. It's unknown just how many boys are going to get this. That's the scary part. It's like, well, we'll vax all the kids and find out.
Well, but can the parents say, well, you know, I can justify that I did that because I'm stupid. Can they do that? Could they say, well, it's not really my fault that I was stupid, that I went and I trusted the government. Well, Joe, let me ask you this.
I don't think it's a good excuse, but it will be used.
Well, to trust a corrupt government, to trust a corrupt government, are you stupid?
Yes.
All right, folks, that's what you needed to know.
Lied to us. Look at Biden. Every time there was another story today about Biden lying, he made up a story. Well, it didn't made up. There was a little fire at his house years ago, lightning strike, a little fire in the kitchen. It was put out in a few minutes. No big deal. He made it sound like, my wife, we had this fire, the house burned to the ground, and my wife escaped with her life. And, I mean, he has told so many lies that the one commentator I heard said it would take 30 minutes to read all the lies that this man has told going back over the years. What does Scripture said? If a leader lies, then all of those who, trying to remember, if a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. And we have a ruler that can't tell the truth, and God says, then what? All his servants are liars.
Absolutely. Listen to this, Joe. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is already estimating. Now, remember, they get the VAERS, their number from VAERS, that there will be 106 microcarditis cases. We're talking about in children per 1 million injected children between the ages of 5 and 11. So if they're only doing 1 to 10%, let's just say they're doing just that, they're just reporting 1%. Well, then that is what? That's what, 10,000 for every million? Mm-hmm. Okay.
It'll be in the thousands. But here's why I know all of this is a lie. A group of professionals called the Public Health and Medical Professionals for Transparency have sued, using the Freedom of Information Act, the FDA, and they want the documents related to this vaccine. They want to see this stuff because they don't believe it. Now, a little sidebar, just before the CDC approved Pfizer's vax for children, the British Medical Journal published an article featuring a whistleblower who said that poor practices at a contract research company helping to carry out the crucial third phase of Pfizer's COVID vax trial may have been compromised the data integrity and patient safety. Basically, what they were saying is there are some people that did a lot of fudging to get this through so it could get approved, and that's why this organization is suing. All these different health professionals are suing, and they argue that we want to see the records. That's what's interesting.
Well, you know,
they want, the FDA says, oh, we want 55 years to disclose the vaccine data.
Well, what's wrong with that? They just want 50. They want to go to the year 2076. Let's say they took them about a year to make the vaccine, and so, but they want 55 years. Let me ask you this: how many of those people, like at the CEOs of Pfizer and that, will be alive in 55 years?
Nobody. There's nobody to be held accountable is exactly why. Look at the last how many years, the 49 years you've been on the radio. Look at what has happened. Good Lord. Now, they did. It was 108 days is what it took the FDA to review the documents to license Pfizer's vax. So in 108 days, they looked at all these tests and all this data so that they could approve the vaccine. Now, why would they need a lot more to turn over the same documents, right? And here's what the people said. It's difficult to imagine a greater need for transparency than an immediate disclosure of the documents relied upon by the FDA to license a product that is now being mandated to hundreds of millions of Americans under the penalty of losing their careers, their income, their military status, and far worse. What could be more important? The FDA has 18,000.
All right, 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673. All right, Carol from North Olmsted pledges 100. Thank you, Carol. Thank you. Folks, we got to keep these phones lining up, okay? Gail in Illinois pledges 100. Thank you, Gail. 888-281-1110. 888-677-9673. All right, we got to keep them. Thank you, Gail. Thank you, Carol.
We have just a small handful of all volunteer staff, no paid employees, no one in all the years of ministry has ever taken a dime, you know, let alone a salary. We don't, like the FDA, have an 18,000 employees and a $6 billion budget. And our biggest bill is the radio airtime. So when we ask you to donate, what it is, we are paying the radio airtime bill. So every station that we're on, it has to become self-supporting. It takes a little while to build a base, but the station you're listening to us on, we have to be able to pay that radio bill. And we're counting on the listeners who hear that station to donate enough to cover the time so we can broadcast from that station. So literally, it's really up to you whether we stay on the air in your area or not. We have to be able to pay the bills or we can't stay on.
888-281. We fell behind last night. We came up very short, so we really got to make it up tonight. And I'm looking, and I'm seeing Randy pacing. He's pacing, man. He's getting nervous. He's getting nervous in there. 888 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We got to hear from you. Dr. Stella Emanuel and Lee Merritt. Mass COVID-19 vaccination campaign proves we are in an extinction. Listen, an extinction level event, okay? Pediatrician and Christian pastor Dr. Stella Emanuel and orthopedic surgeon and health freedom advocate Dr. Lee Merritt believe that the Wuhan coronavirus vaccination campaign aimed at children is genocide campaign that will bring about an extinction level event. This is weak. We just keep trying to tell people and warn them. And, you know, Joe, there are people that are angry at us because they've taken the vax.
Yeah.
And they've taken the vax, and for us, somehow they've got this that if we keep talking about it, it could kill them. But if we don't say anything about it, they'll be all right.
Being afraid or angry at the government for lying to them, they are attacking. They want to get mad at the messenger. But listen to this. Project Veritas interviewed an employee in the government and Health and Human Services who recorded colleagues that were voicing alarms about this vaccine, and they talked about this as a cover-up, evil at the highest levels. Another investigation by Project Veritas, Johnson & Johnson officials said, yeah, we know that children don't need the vaccine. Well, it poses a risk, well, who knows, down the road, so they'll live with it. One of the people that they found on recorded, a scientist, said the employees are bred and taught to insist the vaccine is safer than actually getting COVID. No, it isn't.
Yeah. No, we talked about that. Right now, already about twice as many people for every person that helps at all, it kills two. And that's an actual real study now.
Yeah, they hit it because, remember, folks, every time somebody died that had COVID, they listed the death as death by COVID. People came into the hospital with a heart attack, but if they had the COVID virus, even if they weren't sick, their death was recorded as death by COVID. So,
already, Barbara in Cleveland pledges 200, and her sister Beverly pledges 100. Thank you, Barbara, and thank you, Beverly. 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. 888-677-9673. We got to keep those phone lines ringing. Folks, here. Mara, Emanuel and Merritt made these claims on November 10th on the Brightonton TV program, that Dr. Stella Emanuel show. Merritt made it clear that the COVID-19 vaccine was not created in response to the coronavirus. She called this one of the most common lies perpetuated regarding the coronavirus. Let us be clear, it is not a vaccine in response to a virus. This was a virus or a purported virus made as an excuse to get universal vaccine into every human on this planet, she said. They're trying to kill billions of us. This is what we've been telling people since back in the 80s. Which she's, you know, back in the 80s, I were telling people this. This is what they were going to do, okay?
Yeah, they were looking for a virus or different things so they could reduce Earth's population.
And so there you go. And they're trying to double down. All right, 888-281-1110. We gotta keep those phone lines going. At some point, maybe at the break or whatever, I'll need to know where we're at and what I need to come up with. Okay, so folks, yeah, this is. I've got basically about 3 hours left to raise enough money to stay on the air for the next month on all those stations. So the station you're listening to us on, we want to stay on that. And by the way, let me ask you, have we been taken down on any tonight, do you know of? Okay, praise the good Lord. But, Joe, we have not been taken down on any stations that we know of tonight. So let's pray right now that it doesn't happen, because what we're doing is not what they want us to do out there. Heavenly Father, folks, listen, Remember, there's power in prayer, power in prayer, a lot of power, a lot of power in prayer. This is why, you know, I always try to get all of you to join in with us so that we can continue. We got a lot to bring to you tonight, but we have to be on the air to do that. And some very, very bad people out there, we call them deathocrats, liberals, communists, they don't want us here. They want us. They don't want you to know the truth. So, Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we come here again tonight, Lord, we ask that you would come against the prince of the power of the airways, come against darkness out there, a Lord that might try to prevent us from getting the information that we need to get out to the people. You told us to be a watchman on the wall, to be a watchman, to warn the wicked and the righteous, Lord. And so that's what we're trying to do, but we need to stay up on the air to do that. So, Father God, again, go against those that would try to take us down tonight, that we can get your message out to the hearts and the minds of the people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, well, I just got a prayer request in. Elderly lady I know, a good Christian sister, Catherine, is dying tonight, and I would just like to have a prayer for Catherine and her family that the Lord's calling her home. And if I could just have everybody pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, one of your children coming to see you tonight. And, of course, you already know, Lord, but she's surrounded by sisters and family and relatives, and they hate to see her go. And she's been a joy and a pleasure, and they love her dearly, and just to be with the family, Catherine's family, and help them through this, and Lord, I know heaven's going to sing when another saint enters that holy ground, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Aid, 4,900 to make our goal tonight. So you folks out there, listen, one of you folks out there could save us all a lot and save my voice by just pledging 4,900, and then if you do that, then I will just... continue
to be quiet and let me talk.
Yeah. So there you go.
Wait a minute. That could be a dis. Yeah. That could be bad.
All right. Here you go. Explosive Docs. A.G. Garland, that's the so-called attorney general, lied to Congress. Well, who would have ever thought, right? I'm sitting there.
He's been saying that for quite a while.
Right.
He told several big whoppers, and that's against the law, folks.
Right. Attorney General Merrick Garland sat before Congress and claimed the FBI would not, I listened to him over, be flagging parents protesting at local school boards meetings of potential domestic terrorists. Now, exactly when he was saying that before Congress, that's exactly what the FBI was doing. They had their orders. Whistleblower documents released, however, suggest that they may have been an outright lie. No kidding. The documents sent to House Republicans by FBI staffers shows that the FBI's counterterrorism and criminal investigation divisions were tracking threats against teachers by flagging certain instances with threat tags. Well, praise the good Lord that you have a whistleblower within the FBI.
Praise right, they got a hold of an email.
Hang tight. We'll be back after this.
Fight the fire.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.